that we have an infinite Redeemer. And so my question would be, have you ever placed your hope in a temporary fix? Have you ever hoped that temporarily you could make something work out? Because sometimes an emergency forces us into a temporary repair, but problems arise when we allow those temporary repairs to become permanent solutions. And sometimes Christians can attempt to make serious repairs with what I call spiritual duct tape. Now, what is spiritual duct tape? Well, sometimes we say, you know what, I haven't been doing so good this week. Maybe I'll start reading the Bible a little bit until things get better. You know, maybe I'll go work back in the nursery. They've been asking people to work in the nursery. I'll do that for a month. Surely, that's like 1,000 heaven points working in the nursery. I mean, something is going to help me. I've got to have some sort of spiritual duct tape. But all of this is done, in the hope that we can overcome our poor decisions. Today, this is the big point that I want you to be able to walk home and remember that only an infinite Redeemer can meet your earthly and your eternal needs. Do not place, let me rewind, do not place your hope in temporary redeemers. I have a friend who's Catholic. We were talking one day, and they were saying that they had been praying to some patron saints, to some people that had died long ago that they were hoping could give them some help and some assistance. Well, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. I didn't understand that. So I looked this up on American Catholics, and here's what they say about patron saints. These patron saints intercede for us. We can take special needs to them and know they will listen to our prayers and pray to God for us. Listen, that's not in the Bible. The Bible encourages us to know that we have a Redeemer. We have a mediator. In fact, there are a lot of patron saints. If you are an accountant, you need to pray to St. Matthew. He's the patron saint of accountants. If you have an earache, you pray to St. Polycarp. And if, like this young lady who had lost her iPod, you're missing something, you pray to St. Anthony, the patron saint of missing stuff. Listen, Jesus Christ died so that I, so that Terry, so that Mark, and so that anybody who recognizes that they are not enough without God can be reconciled to God. See, we keep going to these temporary things. You know why? Because they require no commitment. They require no commitment. I can go to this until I feel better. And then I'll just go back to where I was. Jesus Christ calls us to permanent life change. He's our only mediator, and he is sufficient. Listen, he is sufficient for every single problem that you face. Not just the problem of sin, and that's a big one, but for the problem you deal with at work. For the problem you deal with your child. For the problem you deal with financially. Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover every situation. So today from Judges chapter 2, you are going to see a message against hoping in temporary redeemers. Look at Judges chapter 2, verses 16 through 18 if you have your Bible. It says this, "Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them," that's Israel, "out of the hand of those who had plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of that judge." So last week we saw that Israel had this great leader, he's gone, and the people start falling away. They start putting their trust in these little temporary places that end up not solving their problem, and they fall into sin. But here's the amazing thing about God. When you fall into sin, as a believer in Jesus Christ, he's still your God. He doesn't say, "I'm sick of that, and I'm done with you, and don't talk to me again." Now, the Bible does tell us that God is grieved when we choose sin, because we are essentially saying, that commitment I made to you, Lord, in this moment, not so important to me. And I say that as a sinner, knowing the arguments I make in that moment. When I suddenly say, well, Jesus loves me and Jesus died for me, but at this moment I'd rather not think about it because I want to be mad at this person. God, just let me be mad for 10 seconds. Is that okay? When you have to ask God, is that okay? It's like when your kids ask, is that okay? It's not okay. Okay? So we see this. And so when it says here, the Lord raised up judges, this is just another word that was used for chiefs or for rulers, but they were always temporary. And it says that God raised them up. Do you know what I can point to as a difference in our church this year as opposed to our church last year? We are seeing God move in the hearts of people to salvation because we've asked Him to. And we've asked Him to empower us to do it more faithfully. That's the difference. See, when I was young in ministry, I said, oh, you know what? I want to see some people get baptized. I'm going to go out and work really hard this week, and I'm going to save some people. My goodness, we can be dumb when we are young. We must realize that God is the Redeemer. And the Bible tells us here that these judges were the face, but God was the power. It says God raised up these judges. You know who they were without God? They were nobody. Do you know who I am without God? I'm nobody. We must understand that God raises us up and that spiritual change always comes from a spiritual work. Mark shared this book with you that we've been going through in our men's group, and it talks about strengthening your prayer life. And this pastor says this, what folly to think that all other blessings must come from God, but that prayer, on which everything else depends, must be obtained by personal effort. You ever felt like your prayer life isn't what it should be? Well, you know what you need. You need a stopwatch. Just set it for 10 minutes. You pray for 10 minutes and everything's just fine. No, it's not about the effort. It's about the commitment. It's about the love. It's about the connection. I enjoy getting up on Sunday morning and praying, and this morning reading from Psalm 37, because here's the behind the scenes. My right sleeve is really wet because I try to roll it up, and it never gets rolled up high enough for baptism Sunday, and that's okay because this arm is really comfortable and cool right now. But there are so many parts of today's service that were stressing me out. I got to remember to do this. I got to make sure those people get back there for baptism. Do I have their baptism certificates? Do I do this? When do I pray? When do I do this? When do I do that? I started getting stressed out. And this morning I was praying. And I was reading from Psalm 37. And it talks about God taking your hand. And I said, God, today there's a lot of parts to this service. And I don't want to miss you because I'm trying to get from this dot to that dot. Remind me that you have my hand today and take me where I need to go. And I'm thankful that this morning that anything you've been blessed by is not because of human hands, but because of the hand of God. Knowing that you were going to sit in that chair right now, knowing the problems you brought in here, and He even knows some places you've been using spiritual duct tape. And He says, I've got something better for you than that. And so we're reminded here that spiritual change, whatever you want to see in your spiritual life, is not about you working harder. It's about you loving, committed, more diligently, saying, God is going to do this work. Listen, leaders are important, but pastors and politicians are going to let you down. There's only going to be so much that they can bring into your life, and little of it will bring permanent change. You know, Terry's talking about his youth pastor investing in him. While that pastor may have given him the tools, Terry's the one who had to make the decision that it was going to be a part of his life. It's not that his youth pastor fixed him. It's that Jesus Christ did it because Terry submitted from what he was taught. And that's why it's so true when Psalm 108:12 says, vain is the salvation of man. Vain is the salvation of man. We try and we try. We have movies galore where one man saves somebody in spite of an army of 100. We live in a world where one man can do anything, but the reality is we are in a world where only one man can do anything. It was the man Jesus Christ. He's it. He is it. He's the only way my life is different. And so people sometimes, just like Israel, can become rescued and yet soon turn back to the old life. I'll never forget seeing The Passion of the Christ in movie theaters. And I said something to myself. I thought it was unique to me, but I've met a lot of people who saw that movie, and apparently we were all saying the same thing. After seeing Jesus go through that, how could I ever choose sin again? How could I see him be beaten and tortured and killed, and today I'm going to say, well, I just feel like sin. Today, sin's a good thing for me. Yet, that's what happens in our lives sometimes. We've all pleaded, just like Israel, we've asked God for his rescue, and then once the spiritual danger was gone, we said, well, now it's okay. Or, you know what, next time when that happens, I'll be able to stop it. Next time, I won't fall to that. You know what that is? It's an old Greek word. It's called a lie. You lie to yourself, just like I lie to myself, just like Peter lied to himself. Lord Jesus, I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. Be careful about saying never and always to the Lord. So we see this reminder. So why does God keep rescuing these people? If these people, because we actually see at the beginning what it's going to be like through their entire life, why does he keep rescuing them if they're just going to make that dumb decision again? Well, keep looking, Judges chapter 2, the middle of verse 18 and verse 19. This is beautiful. This is awesome to see this reality. Judges chapter 2. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. Why does God keep rescuing these people? Why does God keep rescuing you? Why does God keep rescuing me? Because of his compassion. It says he was moved to pity. Listen, God knows everything about us, but he deals with us in the moment. Listen, verse 18, God was moved to pity, but he knew verse 19 was coming. He knew verse 19 of them falling away and choosing disobedience was going to happen. But just like with my children, there are times my children do things that please me. And so, even though I know that there's a verse 19 coming for my kids, even though I know that, I choose to say, I'm going to bless you for your obedience in this moment. See, that's what God's grace is. God's grace allows us to enjoy those moments of victory and to experience his forgiveness in those moments of defeat and to be brought back to where we need to be. So I love to see that God has compassion. That's why we see him do this time after time, but also because he made a promise. Keep looking, verse 20. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he said, because this people have transgressed my covenant, that's another word for promise, that I commanded their fathers and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers did or not. So this word covenant, it's a two-way promise. That's a picture of salvation. Jesus Christ died and says, I have died to offer forgiveness and life change for every person who accepts it if you're willing to turn from sin. Nowhere does the Bible say that you ask Jesus to forgive your life and you pledge to keep living the same way you did. That's why we talk to those folks when they come into the baptistry. Do you pledge? Do you commit to follow him all the days of your life? Yes. Sometimes you're going to be following him, and Jesus is going this way, and you see something shiny, and you go, oh my. You know what that shiny thing is? It's sin. And so sometimes you're following Jesus, but you start going the wrong way. Listen, the grace of God is always there to bring you back. The compassion of God is always there because you don't earn salvation. and you don't deserve salvation, and I don't deserve salvation. It's just his compassion that holds us and brings us back and keeps us close. So God says, I will discipline these people, but I will never forsake them. I will never walk away. I will never leave them behind. So God says he allows these trials to test them, not to test so God can say, I wonder what they'll do, but so you can know what you will do. Because all of us have had a Peter moment. Heath, that's dangerous for you. Don't be around that. Don't give yourself opportunity for that. Oh, Lord, I read the Bible this week. I can handle it. Listen, it's not because God wonders what I'll do. It's so that I know how sinful I am. The longer I walk with God, I thought that I would become perfect. I thought there would come a moment that I would just kind of get it and I would just do everything. And the more I learn about God, the more I realize, man, I need him. Man, all that's happening is I'm understanding more how much I needed him. As a 12-year-old boy, there were a couple areas I was pretty sure I needed him. As a 37-year-old man, there is an infinite number of areas that I know I need a redeemer, not just for my soul, but for my mouth and for my actions and for my mind. I need an infinite redeemer because I am an infinite sinner. And so we look and we see this. So why does God continue with us? Because he loves us. And because he did this thing that you and I don't always do. He made a promise, and he kept it. Now, the promise of God being kept does not always mean that life will be super easy. Sometimes there will be challenges. But do you know what I hear when Mark stands up here and he shares about the challenges he went through? I hear someone who grew closer to the Lord Jesus Christ because of that challenge. Thank you, God, for not giving me an easy life. Because if you did, I would live so far from you. I would live so distant because I've got it all figured out. I've got it all taken care of. Our reminder for today, our reminder is that only an infinite Redeemer, one who covers every area of your life. Only an infinite Redeemer can meet your earthly and your eternal needs. Are you using some spiritual duct tape? Does that feel good? Are you happy with that? If you had a door fall off in your house, would you just duct tape it up and say, well, that'll last for 30 years? I might, because I'm not what we call handy. It's time for us to stop being happy with spiritual duct tape. It's time for us to stop being okay to fix something for a moment and then to know we're just going to spend another moment with him a week later because we didn't just say, Lord, replace the door. Fix it. In fact, that door, I rarely go anywhere good, just board it up. Lord, will you make a permanent redemption in that area? God has not asked you to try harder. He's asked you to trust harder, to have a closer faith, believing he will make the change. Listen, the changes that have been made in my life, the husband and the father and the son and the friend that I am, is because Jesus Christ changed me. Because I am a selfish introvert. And so how did God make my life easy? He made me a pastor. And I thank him for challenging me in my life because I know who I am because. What are the temporary redeemers that you are trusting? Are you trusting your good works? Terry shared with us the failure of good works. You can never do enough good to impress the God who made the entire universe. Remember when your child drew that picture? You didn't know what it was, neither did I. And they said, Dad, isn't this great? That might be, honey, the greatest picture I've ever seen. Sometimes we fake ourselves out thinking how good we are. God loves us, but there's nothing we can do to impress God. He calls us to live close to Him. Are you, have you, will you allow an infinite Redeemer to cover the needs of your daily life, that you stop worrying and you start praying? And most importantly, more than anything else I can say today, have you allowed an infinite Redeemer to save your soul, to pay the price for your sins? The Bible says we're all sinners. That starts with me up here. The Bible says we are all sinners. And when we begin to feel the weight of our sin, when we begin to feel the hopelessness of our sin, Jesus Christ is right there to say, guess what? I died for you. Yes, even you. Today, I don't know how God has spoken to you in your heart, but we want to give you a moment to respond to that. As the praise team and as our prayer partners come forward, we want to give you that moment so that if the Lord has been speaking something to you today, you won't have the excuse of, I didn't have a moment to listen to the Lord. I'd like to ask us to go into a moment of prayer. Even if you say, I don't really pray very much or I haven't prayed in a while, that's okay, because God is an infinite Redeemer and He can overcome the time. Right now where you are, I challenge you with the same question that I've had to ask myself time and time again, beginning with the day that I accepted Jesus Christ. The question for you to ask is this: God, what do you want me to do today?